Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is the Sabbath. It's about the fourth commandment tonight, so the theme is the Sabbath. Three thoughts. First, our thoughts on Sunday. Our thoughts on Sunday. Second thought, the Bible on Sabbath and Sunday. And third, the practice of Sunday observance. The Sabbath. 3 points of attention. Our thoughts on Sunday. What do we think about Sunday? Second, what does the Bible say about Sabbath and Sunday? That's more important, isn't it? And then thirdly, the practice of Sunday observance. So first point of attention, our thoughts about the Sunday. Tonight's focus is indeed on keeping the Sabbath or Sunday. Because we deal tonight with Lord's Day 38, and Lord's Day 38 deals with the fourth commandment, and the fourth commandment begins with these very well-known words, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, what comes to mind first when we think about the Sunday or the Sabbath day? Well, probably that it is a day different than any other day. And indeed, the Sunday has a different character. And that's true not only for us, but probably for most, probably for all Canadian citizens. There is an Harvard professor, his name is Stephen Miller. He's an expert on the history of Sunday, and he wrote a book, The Peculiar Life of Sundays. The Peculiar Life of Sundays. He wrote about the character of this special day, Sunday, the following words. It is a day when you don't have to do the things when you can just lie around, see people if you want, or not see people. That's the character of the Sunday. Well, according to some recent surveys from the Canadian Bureau of Statistics, I looked them up for you yesterday, or the day before yesterday, only 16% of the Canadian population is involved in religious activities at least once a week. Only 16%, that's all. Once a week. 24% of the Canadian population, slightly more, participates only once a month in a religious activity. That's Canada. By far, that's clear, most of the Canadian people do not go to church on Sunday. Well, Sunday has a special character for them. What do they do on Sunday? Well, all kinds of different activities. Just look into the statistics. Mostly recreation, leisure, 3.5 hour of TV watching, sports, shopping, and of course a few hours of work. Staggering data, isn't it? Canada, only 16% involved in religious activities at least once a week. That's Canada. And Canada is not different from any other Western country. What a decline. Well, indeed, a Sunday is a day different than any other day. But what a difference compared to the past. Some quotes for you about the past. It is actually about the American, the United States past, but I suppose it isn't that different here in Canada. Stephen Miller, again, that Harvard professor who wrote that book, The Peculiar Life of Sundays. He wrote about the 18th century. That's not that long ago, the 18th century. I quote, "There were Connecticut blue laws." By the way, do you know what blue laws are? These are Sunday laws, laws specifically for Sunday. They call them blue laws, also here in Canada and in many more Western countries. So there were Connecticut blue laws in the 18th century, which said, just listen, that you could not kiss your baby on Sunday. 18th century. You could not tell a joke on Sunday. 18th century. There was absolutely no frivolity, and you could not play any instrument. 18th century. That same Stephen Miller about a century later, the 19th century. Sunday legislation was the second most debated subject after slavery in the 19th century because there were different opinions about what you could or couldn't do on Sunday. 19th century. Now we move into the 20th century, another quote. "Gradually in the 20th century, all the things that we associate with Sunday now started. So there is the common Sunday drive, the Sunday dinner, the Sunday family visit, the Sunday sports, the Sunday paper," and just fill it in. And so in the end, that's the conclusion. For most of the Canadian people, United States, and it's the same in all Western countries, Sunday became a day of celebrations, of sports, watching television, just do whatever you want to do. And actually, nowadays, it's almost a day like every other day because it's so commercialized. So commercialized. And let's be honest, congregation, it affects all of us. In fact, most Christians, I don't know you well enough, but most Christians nowadays don't have any problem anymore for traveling hours on Sunday. What's the point? It's about my heart. I can listen to a sermon in my car. What's the point? So most Christians have no problem at all with traveling hour after hour after hour at Sundays. Many Christians go out for shopping at Sundays. Our shop is open, the grocery is open, so why shouldn't I buy something when I need it? Many Christians take that day of rest, underscore rest, so literally that they sleep the whole afternoon. It's a day of rest. Why do you bother me? It's a day of rest. This is my rest. What has changed? What has changed with us and why? Let's face it. It's either one of the two. I don't give you the answer. You may give your answer yourself. Were they wrong in the 18th century, in the 19th century, in the times of the Reformation? Or are we wrong? It's one of the two. Either we are wrong or they were wrong. There's no choice in between. Has the culture so much influence? Did we become worldly? I just raise questions. And honestly, I don't have all the answers, no. Were we so legalistic in the past? And we don't want to be legalistic anymore. Right? It's all about our heart. It's all about our heart. The Lord looks to our heart. You know, and what an amazing thing is, I see many young people here. And parents know that, right? I was young myself once. Despite all these changes from the last centuries, most of us, especially the young people, experience the Sunday still as a straitjacket. Let's be honest. A coat that pinches. And we love to throw that coat away. Therefore, we travel and we rest and we watch our smartphone and whatever. You know, and even after all these changes, because the character of Sunday has changed so much in the course of a few centuries, even after all these changes, the Sunday still pinches, right? And still, many of us experience the Sunday as a straitjacket. Now, we might think, and probably a few under us, a few among us think that, let's go back to the old days, to all these rules. You know, it gives at least some security. Who knows what it will do for the church? Because let's be honest, things are not going well with the church. And many empty places here. Many churches are closed. And many more churches will be closed in the next months, years. That's one thing for sure. So maybe we should move back to the security of all these rules and strict Sunday observance. Because that creates at least some clarity also for the children among us. Let's set up some guidelines for all kinds of practical matters. So the consistory comes together and they tell Hamilton Free Reformed, well, you're allowed to do this in this circumstance. You're allowed to do that in that circumstance. You're allowed to travel up to half an hour in these circumstances, up to 1 hour in these circumstances. And will it help? Will it help? Let's be careful by doing that. Because that road has been traveled many times in history. And it has come to a dead end as just as many times. I'll give you an example from the Jewish religion. Did you ever hear about the Mishnah? That's the Jewish oral tradition written down in a book, the Mishnah. These traditions, the Mishnah, Jewish traditions, they found their origin in the second half of the second century. No, first half of the second century. So that's not that long ago after the New Testament was written. And in the Mishnah, we find no less than 39 main types of prohibited activities. It's, when you read it, it's almost an endless enumeration. What is forbidden on Sunday, on Sabbath? Sowing, plowing, harvesting, threshing, spinning, weaving 2 threads, writing 2 letters, lighting or extinguishing fire, carrying something to move. At the other hand, there is a long list of things which are allowed at Sabbath. Weaving 1 thread, that's allowed. Setting 1 stitch, that's allowed. And it continues and it continues and it continues. And you can safely assume that most of these rules, again, you find them in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah has its origin in the first half of the second century. You can safely assume that during New Testamentic times, most of these rules were practiced. They were common in the times of the New Testament. When Jesus walked on earth, most of the Jewish people would observe these rules. And no doubt about it, most of these rules, of course, they arose out of piety and reverence for the word of God and God's holiness. But you know what the problem was, and Jesus addressed it time and again, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. And the Sabbath became a straitjacket. You can read it in the New Testament. And it started to squeeze. And it called, of course, for evasion. This is what Jesus points out. And that's why he tells us it is in the end all about the motivation. It's about your heart. Why are you observing these rules? Why? Why? It's indeed about your inner life. It's so true. It is about loving God above all and your neighbor as yourself. For us, rules are not wrong, but it's very first place about abiding in Jesus Christ and following him. Well, the Lord himself said in Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for man. So he addressed all these legalistic tendencies in his days, these long list of things prohibited and allowed. And he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, not rule upon rule, because what happens when we have so many rules? Man seems to have to fit the Sabbath. But, tells Jesus Christ, it should be the other way around. Sabbath should fit man. Sabbath is a rich gift from God's hand. And I hope you recognize it, that it fits you. Not as a straitjacket, but as a perfect coat. And you don't want to miss the Sabbath, because Sabbath is made for a man. How precious this gift is. It is first and foremost a day of freedom, of rest, of joy. But in the Lord, not in your bed, not on the road, not in your car. A day of rest and joy in the Lord. It is a day that you are equipped for the days ahead of you. It is a day that you are put again on the foundation of your life, Jesus Christ and him alone. That's the Sunday. Well, let's move on to the second thought. What does the Bible say on Sabbath and Sunday? Because we can speak about ours, what we think that we should do. What does the Bible say about Sabbath and Sunday? That's more important, right? We are here to listen to the Word of God. So what does the Bible say about Sunday? I can't expound on all things with you. No, that's impossible. Some main rules. In the second thought, I would like to characterize the Sabbath or the Sunday in 3 points. First of all, it is a day of rest. We'll address that. Second, the Sabbath is a day of liberation. And thirdly, it is a day of fellowship. That's the Sabbath. On biblical grounds, it is a day of rest. We will address what kind of rest. It is a day of liberation. We will address what kind of liberation. And it is a day of fellowship. And it's so important to listen to the Bible, because we are so apt to fill in these words, right? Oh, rest, okay. Liberation, okay. Fellowship, okay. No, what does the Bible say about these things? So first of all, let's listen to Exodus. Exodus 20, because as you probably know, there are two versions of the Ten Commandments in God's Word. You read them in Exodus 20, you read them in Deuteronomy 5. And remarkable, the fourth commandment is slightly different in both versions of the Holy Law. But let's first address what Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, tell us about the Sabbath. We hear these words, right? You hear still the echo. You heard them this morning. You know them by heart. Remember the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It is a day set apart. It is a holy day, right? It is not a day as the Saturday. It is not another Saturday. It is not another Monday. It is a holy day set apart. How is that day set apart? How is it sanctified? How is it different? Well, we continue to read in Exodus 20. 6 days shalt thou labor. You have a maximum of 6 days to do all your labor. That's fine. To do all thy work. But the seventh day, but, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. 6 days you're allowed to work, but that seventh day work is ceased, is rest. Why? Why does God require from us that we rest this one day, the seventh day? Why? Well, we continue to read in Exodus 20. For, here comes the reason. In 6 days, the Lord himself made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In other words, Exodus 20 refers to the work of creation. The image is evoked of God working. And he creates this beautiful universe, this beautiful globe, and all that lives in and on this globe. It's his work. And he did all of that in 6 days. And it was good. There was a perfect order in everything. Everything was good. Yes, very good. It was perfectly ordered. And then on the seventh day, that order was ready. Creation was ready. And the Lord enjoys his work. He sits there. He sees his handiwork. He enjoys it, a day of rest. Miraculously, right? We mentioned it this morning already, that man begins his life. The very first full day of man is a day of rest. Our first day is not a day of work. That's important. Our first day is a day of rest. In a way, God was at work for 6 days. Then he created man as his viceroy, as his king, to rule the work he made with his hands. He handed over the rule to us. Of course, he is the supreme king. But we were his viceroys. What an high honor. And he rests. And in a way, he hands over creation to us, to rule creation, to rule that perfectly ordered universe and globe, to rule and maintain creation. And what was the most important task for Adam and Eve and man? And it still is. What is our task? Why do we exist? Can you give me an answer? Why do we exist? To display God's image. To lift up God's name, that this whole globe and universe will be filled with God's glory. That's our task. That's our first priority. And we are reminded of that. What a great gift. Every Sabbath, every Sunday. That's why we have this rich gift. Sabbath is used by God to teach us that he created everything and that our main task is to fill this earth with his glory, to show his image to the world around us, to love him above all and our neighbor as ourselves. To love our enemy, indeed. And the Lord grants us that rich gift of his Sabbath to gain or regain that knowledge, to setting things straight. To regain knowledge, to live the next couple of days, the next week, in righteousness and holiness. He gave the day to taste his goodness and his love. To equip us to spread his name the next days. That's our main task. It is not to become rich or whatever, no. It is to show his honor and glory to this beautiful creation. And in the New Testament, the Sunday has this function. Because Christ rose up on the first day. And now Sabbath became Sunday. But it's still the same function. What a rich gift, oh dear congregation of Hamilton, that you are reminded. Look, the world around us. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Leisure, television watching, sports, whatever they do. And God called us and he sets us apart. And he tells us, I am your creator, but I am also your recreator. This is the day of Jesus Christ. This is his day. That we taste him. We see him. That we embrace him. That we are built up in him. That we are put on that foundation, that firm foundation which will not shake unto eternity, Jesus Christ. That's what a Sunday is for. Oh, what a precious day. I think I don't have to explain you anymore. That's not a day to travel for hours. No. It's not a day to lay down in your bed the whole afternoon. I'm not legalistic. But I think it's clear, right? If this is the day, and we enjoy in the day because we see the precious gift of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood that we may live in eternal joy. And that joy starts here at Sabbath. It is a taste, a pretaste of the eternal Sabbath and the eternal joy. Oh, what a day. So great, so great. Young people, can I make you jealous? Oh, please. This is the Sunday. What a beautiful day. But there is another point, right? A day of rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's it. Rest on Jesus Christ. That's what we learn, first point. But the day of Sunday and Sabbath is also a day of liberation. But please pay attention. Liberation from slavery. That's why it is so tragic. I'm not better than any one of you. But that's why it's tragic. And I involve myself. That we are so much involved with all kinds of slavery. At Sabbath, at Sunday. Because it is a day in which, on which we are reminded that God liberated his people. How do we know that? Well, let's move on to the second. To Deuteronomy 5, the second recording of the Ten Commandments, the Holy Law. And there we read, indeed, a slightly different motivation to keep the Sabbath. What is the motivation in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15? Quote, remember, Hamilton Free Reformed, that thou wast a servant. Israel in the land of Egypt, but we in that land of Satan. By the way, are you? Or are you still a slave? Are you set free? Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Remember. And that the Lord, thy God, what a miracle, the Lord, I am who I am, the I am here, thy God, what a miracle, brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by stretched out arm, and therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. It is a day of celebration that we are liberated from the slavery we once were slaves. Stuck in bonds of slavery, sin. But now, set free. No more these bonds of slavery. And we're reminded of that every Sunday. Amazing, isn't it? The Sabbath recalled God's great deeds for Israel. The Sunday recalls God's great deeds in Jesus Christ. How he became human like you. Like you, like me. How he took upon himself your sin. How he wrestled with it. And how he died at Calvary's cross. What a willingly and Savior we do have. What a good doing God we have. And we're reminded of that every Sunday. The Sabbath, the Sunday gives us that prospect again. See what God did. And it's so important because God knows that we are weak. He knows that we will sin again tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. He knows that we have to live in this world. And he knows that this world is full of temptations. He knows that we are weak in our hearts. So he gives us this great gift of the Sunday. And we are reminded that Jesus Christ came and that he set his people free. What a great gift it is. The Sabbath and the Sunday makes you know who God is. It equips you. What does it say about us, dear congregation, and I involve myself, that we tend to prefer the bondage of work even on Sunday? And the Lord did set us free, a day of rest and liberation. What is it in us that we so easily walk in the world on Sunday? And the Lord brought us out of that world. He set us apart. What is it? What is it? What does it say about us, the goal of our life? What does it say about us if there is hardly any difference between the weekdays and Sundays? Do we prefer the bondage of slavery above the freedom in Christ? And Sunday is, therefore, to learn is to see all these things again and again, that you flee to Christ, that you abide in Christ, to be remembered in Christ you are set free. And indeed, at the end of the Sunday, you are sent into the world, but to proclaim God's name, to lift up his name wherever you are that week. That's the Sunday. What a beautiful day it is, isn't it? What a gift, what a rich gift. Oh, the Jewish people, maybe you know that I had the rich privilege to live for a couple of years in Israel. And a Friday evening, in all these houses there is a meal. Oh, it's a rich meal and the family is together Friday, because Friday evening, when the sun is down, the Sabbath starts. And it's such a beautiful meal and a beautiful gathering. You know, they are all dressed like we are dressed now. And there are candles on the table and they open the Word of God and they sing. And what do they sing about? They receive the Sabbath. They receive the Sabbath as a gift from God's hand. They call the Sabbath the Queen. Yeah, we can learn from that. What are we doing on Saturday evening? Going out, doing this, doing that, you know. We go to bed late. We rise up Sunday morning. We are tired in church. Well, there is a third point. The Sunday is a day of rest. How beautiful. Rest in Jesus Christ. It is a day to learn about his work. The day of liberation out of the bonds of slavery. And it is a day of fellowship. Let's start here. The Sabbath is a sign of God's covenant. I'll prove it for you. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. Again, we read it over and over again, especially in the Old Testament. Keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. It is holy. It's a day. But here's another motivation. The third motivation to keep the Sabbath. Exodus 31. For it is a sign. A covenant sign. That word sign points to the covenant. It is a covenantal sign between me and you throughout your generations. And why did the Lord give this Sabbath as a sign of his covenant? He has a purpose with it. Well, we read there, that ye may know that I am the Lord, your covenant God, that thus sanctify you, that ye may know. What a gift this day is. That great God, the God of the covenant, that covenant of grace, sets this day apart that we may come to know him. Not only here, theoretical knowledge, that's important, of course, but experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. Oh, here you are taught who the Lord is, who you are. Here you are taught in the riches of the triune God, in the riches of Jesus Christ, in the heavenly treasures. Here you are taught in that. And you are equipped to begin your journey in the next week to experience who God is in your daily life. How he is your God in the midst of your afflictions. How he is at the shadow at your right hand. How he does the impossible things. That's experiential knowledge. And you begin to learn that here. It is a day indeed of fellowship. Coming together. Have fellowship together. Fellowship with the Lord. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Experiential knowledge is about fellowship with the Lord. That holy being, our Creator. And through Jesus Christ and in the Spirit, we may experience fellowship with him. It's amazing. What a rich gift the Sunday is. Please, never forget it again. Please, please, please. The Sunday we are reminded of that one-sided electing love of God the Father. He loves sinners who are not better than any other one, and yet he loves them. That's election. Isn't that amazing? We are reminded of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the Spirit who has been poured out at Pentecost. And he is the one who revives dead people, makes them alive. That life-changing Spirit uses especially the services. Here he works. Here he is. We have prayed for him. You can be certain where two or three are together, and there are more here, right? That the Spirit will be present. Don't resist him, please. And the Sunday is to be together in fellowship with the Word of God open and the Spirit doing your work in your heart. Don't resist him. What a great day. What does it say, young people and parents, if you sigh under the Sunday? What does it say about our hearts? We should long after that day to be taught from God about God. And that knowledge you will take with you to eternity. Everything else you will forget. But this knowledge will stay. into eternity. What a great gift, isn't it? That's the Sunday. Well, then my last point. We have heard what the world around us thinks about Sunday. And I hope it was a mirror for you. What do we think about a Sunday? Is it that straitjacket? Is it a special day? How is it a special day? We have learned why the Sunday is such a rich, precious gift from God's hand. Right? These 3 reasons. A day of rest on Jesus Christ, on God's triune. A day of liberation of the bonds of slavery. And the day of fellowship among each other. You're a church family. Please. You're a church family. Love each other. But that love is rooted in God's love for us. And therefore we love Him. Well, that fellowship. But now about some things about the practice of Sunday observance. Because that question is still open, right? How to spend this day. Although, actually, I honestly think that I could say amen here. Honestly. I'm not going to give you a list of rules. No, I'm not going to do that. Because, according to God's word, there is some freedom. Just read Romans. There is freedom. But on the other hand, especially as parents and you have children, you need some rules. And maybe the consistory should have some rules. We need some rules because we live in a fallen world and we are weak. There are temptations around us. We need at least some rules. I'm not going to fill in all these rules. There are parents here. They should do that for their family. I just give you some guidelines. You can fill them in for yourself. First of all, that's an easy one. Although I think it's not easy at all. But it is a day to rest. It is a day to rest from your labor. That's clear, right? But it's also a day to rest from your slavery in the world. Please consider how we are enslaved to the world. What kind of instruments does Satan use to get us and to keep us enslaved to the world? You just answer the question. I don't have to answer these questions. Okay. It's a day of rest from all that slavery. So don't use these instruments. How can there be rest if there are still all kinds of labor and even lust? Honestly, I'm so weak. When I walk around in the world, you know, and all these fiery arrows from Satan, and they enter into my heart, and my heart is weak. And at Sunday, we shouldn't bring ourselves into the world, into these temptations. It's important. We rest in Christ. So no work at all, and keep yourself free from the world with all its temptations, because they appeal to the lusts in your heart, and you can fill it in yourself. Second, another practical guideline, it is a day of holy convocation. It is a day of opening the Word of God and coming together as church family. This is so important. Leviticus 23, verse 3, you read it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you read it in the letter to the Hebrews. To come together, not to neglect the mutual gatherings. And if there are among you who neglect the mutual gatherings, please tell them who Jesus Christ is. Tell them about. And that He waits for them here. Tell them that here He opens His word here. And that He is longing to see them here in this fellowship. Tell them. What a great gift it is here that God's word is opened here. And he teaches us, he teaches the wicked, and he makes the simple wise. God's word is opened here, and it is a light on our path. How can you even begin the Monday and you didn't open the word of God? Then you start the week in darkness because you didn't open the word of God. And the word of God is the light. We need that light. God's word teaches us who God is and who we are. God's word, by the help of the Holy Spirit, changes our lives. God's word equips us for everything we need to do, the God-given task we need to fulfill. We are equipped for that here. How can we even begin to fulfill our God-given task if we are not equipped through his word? That's impossible. There is a third thing. So the first thing, it is a day of rest. Second, it is a day of God's word and a fellowship of being together. Thirdly, it is a day of giving. That's also important. It's a day of giving. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were offered at Sabbath. And in the New Testament, we read, by example, in Corinthians and in other letters, that Paul asks us to set aside something every first day of the week. That's our sacrifice. Giving some of our possessions, some of our income, some of the fruit at our work, done in these 6 days, beg to God who equipped us and gave us that task. And through these sacrifices, the worship services can go on, mission can go on, evangelism work can go on. And we can even do something for the needy people among us and around us. So that's the third thing. It is a day of giving. And parents, you can teach this, your children. Teach them that it's a day of giving. The fourth thing, it is a day of celebration. Oh, please, young people, can I make you jealous? It's not a straitjacket. It's not. It's God's rich gift to you. It is a day of celebration. If you know Christ. If you don't know Christ, indeed, the Sunday is a straitjacket. It is. But if you know Christ, it's certainly not a straitjacket. Dear parents, what a rich task you have to tell these your children that they may see your joy in Christ, that they may see and taste the gladness of your heart. You can point them to Jesus Christ, your Savior. And if you are not saved, please flee to Christ today. Don't wait any day longer. Turn to him today. Today is the day of your salvation, not tomorrow, today. Don't wait. What a day it is. It is a day that points us to all we have in Jesus Christ. It is a day that points us to all these heavenly treasures. It is a day that points us to the eternal Sabbath. Here begins the eternal Sabbath. This is what we do in heaven. To sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. To see him. To behold his glory and his beauty and his love. And to enjoy him forever. And that eternal Sabbath begins here. What a day, what a day. Dear congregation of Hamilton, receive this day with joy, please. And keep that day, that's the other side of the coin, oh please. Because I'm certain that things in our time are going wrong here. I'm so certain about it, I see it all over. Also in the Reformed churches. And I don't want to be legalistic, but please, please, receive this day with joy and keep it holy. Keep it holy. Amen.